Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
I want winners. I want people that want to win.
Rod, I feel like this is going to be a cathartic podcast after the 49ers really just didn't look all that good in any aspect of the game today against a Minnesota Vikings team that was playing at home, fired up crowd, a little bit of a trap game we talked about last week. But overall, how did you come out of that game feeling?
I don't know. There were spots where you felt like maybe they were that like found something, but then it just, like you said, it was just very inconsistent was the word that kept coming up with me. Now there were a couple of really, some really good individual performances, but just overall, it just seemed like the team just, it was just starts and stops. It was starts and stops. So yeah, it was, it just had a real, and I know there's a whole thing with haven't went one there since 92. And then the, the West Coast team at 10 o'clock, but it just had a real funky feeling the whole time, as I watched it, it never felt right. And even when, we had some breaks, like, Aaron Jones's fumble, Fred causing that fumble where you think, okay, here we go. We're gonna, this is where we do our thing. It just never happened. So it was just a really, funky game.
I thought that the Niners, I don't know, I think they were favored 4.5 when I saw it. I thought that was the biggest sucker bet of the whole week. Though, as it turns out, there were a few sucker bets this week because a lot of the games were kind of turned on their heads a little bit as far as who won. I mean, we gave the prelude last week about what to worry about, and I did not think that they were going to lose necessarily, but I did think that they were going to struggle, especially early on. And I kind of wondered about the game plan right away because Shanahan did not start the game, at least with lots of Jordan Mason. It looked like, from my eyes, that Brian Flores kind of dared Kyle to throw coming out of the gate. Mm-hmm. And first, the very first sequence of plays, 3 and out, all passes. And then they came back and then they were very pass heavy again. So the Niners went 2 trips right away and didn't really do much with those trips. And I love the cat and mouse game when it comes to Kyle, because in some instances he can be a little prideful, like, oh, you think you can stop this piece? Well, we're going to do this. And you're in a sense, you kind of wonder if it's playing into the other team's hands. But I thought Flores did a really good job, especially because now when you look at week two, we talked about this last week as well. Week one is kind of like the last preseason game, and week two can kind of be like the opener. It was almost like Brock Purdy was like, oh, this is what pass rush looks like.
Yeah.
Oh, this is what a blitz looked like, because he was so slow in picking up stuff. I thought almost every sack was his fault for hanging on to the ball way too long. And I would love to see the numbers when it comes to that. I think I did see a number today that said something of the effect that the amount of seconds it took for him to take the sack was like the second most of any quarterback, which means to me that the time is there. He's holding on to the ball a little too long, or he's like, there were a couple moments where I was like, if he just steps up, then he can still do what he's doing, but then he would step up super late. And I don't know, I would be very interested to hear what he thought about his performance in the pocket. But let's hit some of the major takeaways, the overall themes. This game right here is where you can see Christian McCaffrey not being there, because when they went so pass heavy, part of the reason I think why Brock got sacked so much is because he just didn't have his safety valve there. They did not have a lot of Jordan Mason out of the backfield, and Christian was sorely missed in this game. I think that was pretty apparent.
Mm-hmm. And that's it. That's exactly it, because he had a strong performance on the ground, but he's not going to give you, you know, the nice catch that he made last week aside, he's not going to give you that. I'm sure, you know, Brian Flores comes into the week, you know, hoping that Jordan Mason is going to be featured in the passing game. It's just, that's not his bag. And yeah, for me, key themes: turnovers, costly mistakes. You know, something that a lot of people don't talk about, you know, and I do, but I find very important is the special teams. I mean, we had a we had a block, we had an ill-advised kickoff return. I mean, it was just mistake after mistake. And then when you you add in the turnovers, those, you know, that, and as we led off the pod with, is that you add the inconsistency with the turnovers and the mistakes, and then, you know, let's again, for me, number three is coverage issues. I mean, mm-hmm. Justin Jefferson is a great player, so I mean, he is literally probably, you know, you could make the case he's the best player in the game. And so not being able to cover him is not a problem. I mean, there's no shame in that. But, you know, because the coverage, you know, on the touchdown in particular, you're not supposed to be able to get behind too high, but you can if you're the best player in the league. I mean, it's one of those things. I don't do this lightly, and I'm not by any means making a comparison to Jerry Rice, but it was one of those type things where the coverage says this is not supposed to be able to happen, but this guy is able to make it happen just by virtue of his greatness. You know, it's just, you know, he makes that little cut to the outside and they bite, and then he's gone. And, you know, Journeyman Darnold, you want to call him whatever, he threw a dime. That was a great pass. Those three things are a horrible cocktail. I think, you know, looking back on it, four. And then we can talk, I'm sure, at some point we're going to talk about what could be called, let's say, just questionable play calling by Kyle. Mm-hmm. You know, so those are my four. But, yeah, those were the themes, and maybe they survive three of the four, but I don't know, when you put all four of them together, it's hard to, they were hard to overcome.
And here's why I say this is really a catharsis thing, because if we go back to the offseason, all of the nonsense that happened in the offseason, and just really about players getting their money, but the way that it was handled through the press and all that stuff, whatever, I we're happy with the outcome. We could do without the drama in the articles and stuff. But the thing that we circled last week was CMC and kind of the questionable way that they discussed his injury. It was almost like if you play fantasy football, you had a better idea of, or you had a bigger fear of Christian McCaffrey than if you were a fan of the team because of the way the team talked about it.
Right, right.
But here's what I'll say about that, which is I am not that frustrated with this game, knowing that if this team is going to make another run, they're going to make another run when BA is back in the swing of things, when the offense is kind of settled when CMC is back, when the defense kind of figures out the strengths. On third down, they were just horrendous today. And I don't think that they will be that horrendous all year long. I think the pass rush and, you know, maybe them needing to blitz a little bit more on a third down, which they did not do, kind of bit them in the butt. Maybe they thought that they were going to get the pressure that they needed. All of those things, as they work out these kinks, new defensive coordinator, Brandon Staley with his input. You mentioned Kyle's issues. We'll get to those later. But overall, this is a game that I think is not sort of the inexcusable kind of loss. They will have one or two of those this year where we watch the game and we go, oh my God, they just did not show up. Minnesota probably should have won this game by 3 touchdowns.
Oh,
they themselves were making mistakes that allowed us to even hang out. So I'm not that bothered by the outcome. We lost there last year. I thought Flores was awesome. So we'll get into kind of the pluses and minuses and what we liked and what we didn't like. But my takeaway was, I don't really feel that different about the team last week to this week. I think last week they probably weren't as good as maybe the outcome was. And this week they kind of looked better than they were because of Minnesota's issues. And really, you know, this is kind of the NFL that they want, which is a 50-50 yeah. NFL. And the Niners looked every bit of 50-50 this week. But I also think that they have way too much talent come week 6, week 7, week 8. By then, they should probably be playing more like a well-oiled machine than right now, where we're in, like, you know, opening, you know, preseason game 5 or whatever it is. So
yeah, because you look at like the Dallas game, you know, it was 44-16. This easily could have been that. We could have got curb stomped. It was you know, like you see, you talk about Minnesota's issues. They could have easily had at least 2 more scores for sure. And, you know, in the score, it feels a lot worse because, you know, it's kind of fool's gold because we had, you know, kind of had a shot there at the end. And, you know, if Aaron Jones doesn't, you know, fumble, I mean, it's over. I mean, it's just not, you know, all of it. None of that last 6 minutes matters. But, you know, I agree. I'm not as high as I wasn't as high as everybody was at the end of last week. And I'm not as panicked as it seems like, well, you know, if you look at social media, I'm not as panicked as, you know, the horde seems to be after today's game. It's one of those games that, you know, nobody is set in a 17-week season. Nobody's going undefeated, and they're going to be losses like this. I mean, they never feel good, but, you know, it could have easily gone the other way, and it easily could have been like a blow. They could have easily got their doors blown off. So, yeah, it's fine. I'm not apoplectic about it.
Shout out Robert Ramos, who's hanging out with us. He was because it wasn't a home game. He wasn't at the stadium at like 7 o'clock in the morning, like he was. Or actually, it was Monday night. So he was still there really early on Monday. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's actually talk about the things that we did like about today.
And that is what this game is all about. It is a war every day.
All right. My list.
I love Coach. That is awesome.
That was from one of the Hall of Fame speeches. I don't know if that was when he got elected in the Hall of Fame or that he was presenting somebody, but that's where I pulled that from. My things that we liked list is less than the things that we didn't like, of course. But I think number one, I'm sure Fred was in Fred Warner was in some situations where, you know, maybe they got beat. But when you could see his jersey on the field, he was the one making plays. Mm-hmm. He popped a couple of balls out. He got the interception. There was a play late in the fourth quarter when they needed to actually get off the field. Minnesota tried to kind of sucker the 49ers on a third and long, and you know, they set up something towards the sidelines with the running back, and Fred was just like, there's no way you're getting this, and just, you know, just grabs the running back and throws him out of bounds. I thought Fred was awesome, and it just goes to show that, you know, you can have like one of the best football players in the world on defense, and your defense can still be trash for the day. But Fred was not trash. So it almost makes me wonder, how bad did everyone else have to be when Fred played such a great game? And collectively, the defense just seemed so off today. But man, Fred was everywhere. I mean, we could either even bring up Nick. Nick did get two sacks. One of those sacks was a bit of a coverage sack and a bit of Darnold kind of running backwards and into his own offensive lineman, which allowed Nick to snap him up. There were other moments in the game where I thought Nick was not great. Like he
exactly. Nick, oh my God, I'm glad you said it.
Nick was like, you know, we talked a lot about last year about Chase Young not being able to set the edge. Nick got like blocked a couple of times by a tight end to allow outside runs. And I was just like, I don't know what's going on. Like, this is not the Nick that I know.
He's supposed to get pinned inside by a tight end. It just is not supposed to. Now, not as bad as Chase Young getting blocked by wide receivers. But I mean, you know, Nick Bosa is, you know, I've literally in training camp seen him, you know, dominate Trent. So, I mean, the thought that a tight end would get the best of him in the run game, just it's incongruent with my notion of him. But I guess those guys get paid too, glad you mentioned it as well, that he had a couple of sacks. And you know, I'm going over my player of the game stuff, and I mean, statistically, it wasn't bad, but when you watched, it didn't feel like a great game.
You could say the same thing about Brock. His stats, just the actual stats that, you know, most fans go by, mm-hmm. looks like he had a good game, and lots of garbage yards for mm-hmm. me. So Fred was mine. What did you have for one of the things that you liked?
Well, he was at the top of my list. But the next one on my list was Jordan Mason in the run game. He had they stacked him up a couple times, which affected his per carry yards. Because at one point he was at 7.5. Yes. So he ends up right at 100, 20 for 100. But he is a chain mover. And the thing that I was most concerned about kind of came to pass is Brian Flores just kind of run blitzing, and with him being a one cut back, if the hole is not there, I mean, what does he do then if they blitz they blitz the gap where he's going? And that happened a couple times, but still he performed very well. And as I said last week, in his breakout performance, I mean, he's still not Christian McCaffrey. And this was a game that we saw that even when he is performing well, there are things that he doesn't give us. And now with Eli Mitchell gone, there isn't really, other than Debo, there really isn't anybody in the backfield that, you know, you're going to come out. Like, I was watching that Chiefs game, and it's like, you know, somebody like Samard J. Perine, okay, you might not even know who that is, but he, or Justice Hill in the Ravens game, you know, a pass catching threat out of the backfield. That would be something that would be awesome for us to have. But I don't know that Guerrero, I guess Kyle doesn't trust that.
Yeah, Guerrero had one carry and he got stuffed, and then we never saw him again.
it's a wrap, you know, and you can tell with a rookie, you know, Kyle, that's Kyle, you know, you're not going to get like a whole bunch of chances, you know, as a rookie. So that was, he was my second one, was his strong effort in the running game.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
My other one was Juwan Jennings. I thought he was just clutch on some really big catches. There was a fourth down catch. He's just so tall and so physical, and he's not easily moved. He takes big hits. He's kind of he's kind of Brock's go-to right now. With BA kind of doing a no show, like BA had some catches late, but just I didn't even hear the announcers talk about BA almost at all. And JJ was the guy who it seems like Brock is comfortable with in that situation. But I still think, and we talked about this after the Super Bowl last year, it would be nice if they had someone that was just fast that they could take some chances with down the field. They're great in that like 10 to 15 yard range when it comes to the passing game. Like, they're one of the best teams in the league at that. But when you need, you know, some actual speed to maybe dare Brian Flores to, you know, okay, this is what you're going to do. Well, we can beat you over the top, and you have to think about that. The Niners do not have that. They don't have a guy that they will just send down the field you know, take some shots with. You mentioned Kansas City. Patrick Holmes's favorite play is to create pass interferences on the defense for field position. The Niners cannot do that because they don't have anybody to stretch the field. That is not to take away from what JJ did, because that's what I wanted to stay positive with him. When that ball is anywhere near him, I feel like he's going to catch it, and he's become a great possession guy, especially on third down and today fourth down.
I had a receiver as well as my other one, but you just hit on something that occurred to me as I was watching, was that guy used to could be, you know, Kittle down the seam. And then it was like, you know what? He's damn near 30, right? Maybe that's just not part of his game anymore, is, you know, because Jimmy G wouldn't throw the ball, but there were awful lot of times where they'd run that little seam route and Kittle would be running wide open down the middle of the field. And I would think it could still be there. I mean, he was the second most targeted player, but the long game is just, he's not. And maybe, again, you know, Father Time is undefeated. Maybe he just doesn't have the speed like that anymore, which is just, there's no crime in that. But my other one was Debo, and he led us in, you know, he had 10 targets today, 80% catch rate, which, you know, it just showed that, you know, he is more than just a switch army knife. He can be the X receiver and do a good job at it. It was, like you had just mentioned, there was nothing deep, which is, you know, I didn't note of it watching it, but now hearing you say it, yeah, that would be nice. And when you just look at the guys who got targets, there's nobody there that is going to, there's nobody that, And when you look behind these guys, there's not even like a Ray Ray McCloud or a Danny Gray, somebody who is not legitimate, but somebody who you can at least throw out there as a decoy. They don't even have that. So that's interesting. I don't even know if that person is out there, but I noticed that they did not fill Christian's roster spot. So
I, on offense, yeah. I think it, they added a safety or something, right?
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see, but it would be nice to just the decoy to have, you know, gives the defense something to think about. And maybe as he rounds back into form, BA can be that. I don't know, but it's needed for sure.
The one thing I'll end with positively, and then we'll go on to things that we didn't like. I thought in the fourth quarter, the team overall did show a little bit of grit. That I thought that they were just gonna. There were moments where I was like, okay, they're just mailing it in. But then they did come back. They scored the touchdown. And I'll talk about the negative thing that I had on that last touchdown because it had to do with the clock and their ability to manage the clock.
I wish I could share my screen. It is crazy that my fourth thing also is just resilience.
Yeah.
I thought the same thing is that, you know, and again, they're professionals. So, I mean, it's kind of hairy high school, but they kept fighting. They could have laid down.
Yes.
Several times. They could have just, it's 10 o'clock. We don't win here. You know, they could have just mailed it in, but they didn't. And they fought and they stayed in the game. And again, I know that they're professionals, but I don't know. There's something to be said for that because not all teams do it. You know, some teams do lay down. And I mean, you know, it's just, you know, on to next week. But they didn't do that. So, you know, it's something. There's something to be said about that.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's talk about the things that we didn't like.
Cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it.
I'll say the first thing, and we haven't talked about him that much. I didn't think Brock felt like he was in control of the ball game. We got a little bit more of a flustered Brock than I like to see. Like, I mean, there's some times where it seems like he just has to see things a little bit before he figures it out. But like I said, the sacks that he just took, that I was like, okay, the blitzer's coming like right in front of you, and you got two guys that are actually open sitting waiting for the ball and you can't get that out. He had the fourth down, and this was a questionable call early in the game, fourth down on the 2-yard line, and blitzer comes, and he throws, instead of kind of stepping up and taking the hit, he kind of throws a little bit on his back, off of his back foot, which allows the, I think it's the defensive end, to get a finger on it, and so JJ, it got tipped before it was going to get to JJ, and had he maybe just be willing to take that hit and made a stronger throw and more upright throw, it's possible that guy doesn't get a finger on it. And then there was you don't really see this unless you're watching like junior varsity high school football. He whiffs on his own throw and he fumbles.
Yeah.
We saw him do that last year in the rain. So I don't know what that was, where he just did not have a grip on it and he fumbled and they correctly called it a fumble. It was not an interception. Yeah, so there were positive things about him, but I think the negatives just outweighed it for me because they needed him in certain scenarios to make a big play on third down, and he just didn't have it in some cases. And some of that is hat tip to, you know, the defense and their ability to blitz and the ability to surprise him on that blitz. But I feel like by now, this, you know, he should be seeing these things. He should be feeling these things. I don't know if it's has to do with the offensive line, like we've talked about, or he's just trying maybe to make a bigger play than is there. But yeah, some of that stuff, some of those sacks, I was just like, okay, like these are not right.
This week of all weeks, because you can't tell me, I just refuse to believe that blitzing wasn't first and foremost. I mean, I'm nobody's offensive coordinator, but mm-hmm. I said last week that one thing I knew for sure about this week is that Brian Flores, I mean, that's what he does, is he blitzes. So I can't believe that wasn't a point of emphasis for Brock. And if it was, it didn't seem like it, because mm-hmm. he seemed really laissez-faire a lot of time with the pass rush.
There were some passes that he threw over the middle into the teeth of the defense where I was like, even Brett Favre doesn't think to make that throw. And so I don't know if he was seeing something that wasn't there, or if he really saw the tightest window and thought, because the first interception, I think there were two guys right there. And then the second one that got picked, or was there another? I think there was another one that got picked. I may be mistaken, but there was a couple. No, he only had one interception, but there was a one that had gotten tipped. And I was like, oh man, there's one 49er, and then there's four purple jerseys around that 49er. So there was a little bit of a gunslinger mentality on some of those passes. And I don't know. That's the type of pass that you would have expected from a panicky Jimmy G versus someone like Brock. So that was a little.
And that's one thing. Now, and again, he's human. Yes. So maybe six sacks, maybe he did lose his poise. But see, that the thing of it is that, is, you know, heretofore, that's been one of his strengths, is that he doesn't get rattled. So to kind of see him rattled is all I'm saying, is it's out of character. I'm not saying that he can't lose his poise, because he is still a young player. And again, for me, I get hesitant to criticize him, because it's like, you know, either 49er fans, they have a blind spot and won't criticize him, or they go to the other end of the spectrum and everything is like a referendum whether or not he can play. I mean, it's not either. He can have a bad game and still be our franchise quarterback. It's not like Joe, and again, I'm not comparing him to Joe, but I'm saying, he's not Joe, but even if you go to the top of the food chain, he had bad games. So mm-hmm. if he had bad games, surely Brock is entitled to have his bad games. I'm just saying that I've gotten to a point, even in his short career, when I see him playing with a lack of poise, that it is shocking. That's all I'm saying, is that that is something, like I said last week about him being inefficient. It's the fact that that's one of his calling cards, is his efficiency. When he's not efficient, it jumps out at you.
And it's a different season for him. His rookie season, he kind of came in there and it was like, well, can't get any worse. Like, let's see what you got. And he performed.
Throw the ball. See it, throw it. It's kind of what it felt like to me, is that he just made plays.
And last year, he's coming off of that crazy injury, and he was not expected to be, you know, a repeat. Everyone was looking for him to fall off, and he mm-hmm. proved that he's a really good player. This year is really his first year with crazy high expectations. There's the specter of that contract. So, yeah, I could see, if he was trying to make a play that wasn't there, I could see the mentality of him sort of being expecting to make a big play. But I actually liked the way that he played a lot better last week, which was take what the defense gives you.
Yes.
You know, but also the way that they started that game last week allowed him to play that way. And that's why I thought Kyle's game plan
and the run game took a lot of pressure off of him.
Well, and the run game could have taken a lot of pressure off this week too, but they didn't utilize it until, and they were already behind by the time that they, you know, they started to run the ball. And so all of a sudden he's kind of playing from behind versus playing in front. And as you know, for every quarterback, it's easier to play when you're ahead. What was one of the things on your list for things that you did not like?
We kind of touched on it. Special teams, the muff punt by Cowing, the block punt. And again, it seems like a little thing, but, you know, Debo taking the ball in the end zone and coming out and basically just giving up 10 yards.
Yeah.
It's just, it just seemed ill-advised. And I get it. He's trying to make a play and trying to, you know, charge up the team, but it, you know, you put us in our, especially in, and as I got a moody question for you, but with him out there, you know, starting 10 yards back is 10 yards away from you're 10 yards closer to being in field goal range with him. But I had a thought that when you, it seems it has become clear to me after week two of watching this new kickoff that the goal should be to land it inside the five. So it's not into the end zone, but it's inside the five. So they kind of have to return, or if you can land it on inside the five and then roll it into the end zone, that's like the best scenario. Yeah. So with that being the case, I mean, his leg still is a weapon for field goals, but it's, you know, and again, he just blasted it out of the end zone several times, but that's less than ideal now when if you could play that pooch kick game and make it work, you can gain 10 yards. And it just seems like watching the spin around the league, watching games, that's what teams seem to be playing to do, is playing for the pooch and the 20, getting having them at the 20 as opposed to just giving them the 30. It's like you can gain 10 yards that way. So, I mean, it kind of makes him less valuable to me, that his big leg on kickoffs is it's I don't want to say a detriment, but it, as if we can't continue along the path with this new dynamic kickoff return, it's going to be less important, it just seems.
I did not watch a lot. I didn't watch any games other than the Niner game today. I saw a couple of highlights on going on, but it feels like the strategy is to just have the kickers boot it in the back of the end zone and not mess with that, because that's what we saw a little bit in the preseason, is you want to get it between the five and the goal line so that they have to bring it out. And if you can kick it high, then by the time that ball comes down, maybe you get a little bit of a head start. It doesn't matter, because you can't even go until they catch it. But that seemed to be the strategy in the preseason. But then when the game started, I just saw every kicker just trying to kick it in the back of the end zone for a touchback.
There were like three, and Aubrey for the Cowboys did it twice where it was perfect. He bounced it at like the five and it rolled through the end zone. And that apparently by rule lands the ball on the 20. So
that happened to the Niners last week too.
And I saw there were several others where it was like they were, it looked like they were playing the pooch kick, trying to, you know, get that play. And it's just one of those things that if the pooch kick become, and maybe like you say, there will be a mix. Some teams will just, if you got a guy who can blast it, you'll just do that. But that was what was interesting to me about Dallas in particular. And I don't know how I got to be watching so much of that travesty of the game, but Aubrey, their kicker, is one of those guys that has an explosive leg, but he was also a soccer player. So he's kind of got a finesse thing kind of going on too, which is interesting to watch play out. Again, I find special teams super fascinating, because I just think that there are hitting yards there that if you can unlock them, it helps to be good there. And we have just been so mediocre to bad there over the past several years. Primarily so, with our
Kyle seemingly doesn't really even care about
It's just like, you know, and it just seems like with the coverage because Mitch has, you know, it's weird that once he got taken off with the kickoffs, he was like, I know, like last season, he was like, you know, special teams player of the week, like two or three times. So his punting has been fine. It is funny. You heard him say that. Actually, it was funny, not funny, but it was interesting to hear him say that out loud about the offensive line. Is that, you know, it's by choice that we've chosen to spend our money on skill players, and which means, you know, you just kind of try to, you know, he didn't say try to get, just kind of try to get by on the offensive line, but it's just, it has been, they have de-emphasized spending resources there, you know, which is interesting. And maybe special teams is the same thing. I mean, it's just, I don't know that it just seems, you know, like if you're looking for edges to win a championship, you try to find them wherever you can. And maybe they just figure he figures he can just do it on the offense.
Yeah. You know, maybe they just bring back Ray Wershing, because I don't think he could have reached the goal line.
Exactly.
It'll always be between the five and the goal line.
Exactly.
All right. Another one for me. I guess we could just talk about the play calling and maybe that game of, you know, daring, you know, Kyle to run the ball into a good running defense for the Vikings or whatever he may have done. I think some people like the fourth down call. I thought if they were on the actual 1 yard line instead of the 2 yard line, I thought it was probably, you know, you should go fourth and one, you can go, but fourth and two made it a non-running play. And once it became a non-running play, I thought, okay, let's kick the field goal because, you know, short field and it's going to have to be quick. And I wasn't trusting that their timing was great. And so there were moments like that where I just thought, Kyle's like out of rhythm here. And I'm not sure that he's confident in these things. And then there were other plays, and we'll get to this as well later, because I'll have a little thing about the last drive. But, you know, they ran that little sidearm parallel to the line of scrimmage pass to Debo. And the guy, what's the guy's name who had the pick six for the Vikings last week and almost did it on that play too? I forgot that guy's name. Winkle, whatever. And I'm just like, you know, you are not surprising anybody with this stuff. It's almost like Flores is like, I'm daring you, and then I know that you don't have faith in some of this stuff. And so I'm just going to play to, you know, what your anxiety level is. And he was just right on the money with a lot of his calls. And I was just like, man, like they tried to run a Debo play in the backfield. And the second that Debo was in the backfield, considering he was not in the backfield almost at all, if you're the defensive coordinator, you're like, okay, guys, Debo's getting the ball here. It's like,
and it's one of those things where it occurred to me early that, you know, O'Connell is a McVay disciple. So, I mean, there is that component of it too, that the offenses are kind of similar. So if you're tendency based, they kind of will know what the tendencies are. So you kind of have to break your tendencies. You have to kind of self scout and know that, you know, maybe against this team, the calls that we just normally make are calls that they possibly could be waiting for. So, you know, you have to shake it up. And another thing that came to me that we kind of hit on in a roundabout way is what would be nice is, you know, some downfield chances, but maybe there just isn't anybody to for him to call those plays to. Yeah. And another thing about the, you know, I called it conservative play calling was, you know, some of those red zone calls. We've just been awful in the red zone. It's just, and, you know, we didn't get points because we went for it, so it was only 1 for 3. But still, it's just inefficiency down there and, you know, a lack of creativity. It's just I don't know. It was just really frustrating and not one of Kyle's best games.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not saying this is not no referendum on Kyle Shanahan. And he should
come on.
Be
fired. Are you gonna bring up the Falcons and Patriots Super Bowl again?
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, he's one of the best in the league, and he just didn't have a great game today.
It just tells you how valuable.
On the heels of, you know, a good game last week. So, I mean, it's just, you know, and like you say, you've taken one of his, you know, prime chess pieces away from him.
I think that's what it is.
It's going to take time to, and we've seen it before when you take Debo off the board. It just takes him a while to figure out exactly how he's going to deploy everybody else, because when you have that piece there, everything kind of just makes more sense. And when you take it away, you know, you have to think about it more.
Christian and Debo together probably give the defensive coordinators the most confusion going into a game, and you take one away, whether it's Debo or Christian, and it probably makes their job a lot easier. But at the same time, you would think that because of the flexibility of at least one of them, that you could still be creative. But it does seem like they are really, really missing Christian right now.
Yeah.
You know, because you could have run it to him or passed it to him. And, you know, he was the leading touchdown scorer last year. We were talking about his overall touchdowns this year, which he will not reach probably because he's already going to be gone. And you know, we haven't heard, Kyle has not said anything about his health. He's been, I don't know if it's coy or if he just doesn't want to talk about it, but,
or he doesn't know,
you know, you can't tell with him, 'cause he just always seems annoyed with that kind of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I wonder if he is going to sort of challenge himself to think of some other things to do with the idea that Christian may not be here for any time soon. So that, I think that's something that we have to like think about when we do these shows too, is
at minimum 3 games. And you know, who says that, you know, after week 5 that, you know, he's even ready to come off. So. Yeah.
I wanted to also add the secondary piece, and it's not really Justin Jefferson. He creates havoc for teams. And so them not being on the same page about how to cover that guy, completely understandable. There were 2 moments that stood out on big plays where there was confusion in what they were trying to do. And I think Mooney was on in both of those situations. One of them was a touchdown. I don't know who Mooney, it was Mooney and somebody else. They both played the receiver who was going out to the flat, and they let the guy who went into the end zone free. So one of those guys was supposed to take the guy in the end zone, and they did not have great communication there. And then there was another one on the last drive for Minnesota before they got the field goal. There was a third down, I think it was 3rd and 8, and they ran a play where one of the receivers ran a route and the other receiver ran underneath that route. And the two 49ers DBs kind of ran into each other a little bit, and they couldn't get around so there were communication errors like that. And, you know, you would like to see those figured out, but I do know that the Niners also changed out their safeties, like even before halftime. I think Odom went to the bench, and who was it? Was it Mustafa who came in for him?
Mm-hmm.
And so there was frustration from, at least from a coaching level, unless it was injury related, which I did not see, but there was frustration there. And that could have been the cause of it, just having to add, you know, someone who was not with the starting unit. But those are things that you would hope would be cleaned up. But also at the same time, you tip your cap to the offensive coordinator or the head coach calling the plays to say, those were really great plays to call to catch the 49ers on their heels.
Yep, absolutely.
What was another one for you?
Actually, it's crazy. We hit all the same things. And that was we covered all of mine.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have two small ones.
Mm-hmm.
These are a little nitpicky, but late in the game, Niners are trying to make their comeback. Minnesota has one's a third and eight, and I think one's a third and two. And I was just saying, okay, this is where Nick and Floyd really, really have to be felt. Like Sam Darnold has to feel these guys on this play, because as people who were watching this game probably felt the same way as me, Sam Darnold can very much be flustered into making poor decisions. But you give the guy time, and all he has to do is unleash that giant arm, and he's succeeding. He looks great. Like if he could just sit in the pocket and throw, you know, if this was just passing league, Sam Darnold's probably one of the best passing league quarterbacks ever. But those two opportunities to kind of force a punt or to stop the clock or whatever, they did not. And Bosa, I was specifically watching Bosa. I did that a lot today. I was like, okay, I want to watch what Bosa's doing on this play, and if they are throwing more than one person at him or what. I didn't really sense that, you know, there was a big deal with him, and he just could not beat the guy. And not that he's going to beat the guy every single time, but he is the highest paid defensive end in the league. Or if he got passed up on that, he is probably number two. And those are the moments where he needs to have the quarterback feel him, and he didn't. And I was like, okay, that's the ball game right there, because you let Darnold sit back and the Niners are in a zone, and he just picked the guy, boom, first down. And I was like, okay, this is probably game over. But yeah, I was really hopeful that Bosa or Floyd was going to, make him, force him into a mistake, and it just didn't happen.
That dude in Kansas City, that's what he does. Chris Jones always seems to be that guy to make the play, and Nick has to be that guy for us. He has to be the one that when the play needs to be made, you know, because Fred does his part, you know, all the rest of the game, but closing the show, that's supposed to be Nick's job. And yeah, like you say, he just didn't do it.
Hey, he got his ankle turned, I guess, mm-hmm, in the game as well. So he did get hurt, but go ahead.
You inspired me last week. So I've got a segment that I like. I kind of stole it from, I was inspired by Bill Simmons, and okay, it's called 49er Blame Pie. So okay, what it is
I like it.
Who do we assign blame to for mm-hmm this either win or loss? Mm-hmm. And in this take is a loss. So for me, to this month, this week, it was 35% the offense, okay, turnovers, stall drives, lack of big play production, hampered us, kept us from keeping up. 25% defense, secondary failing to match up with Justin Jefferson, and then several, as you mentioned. It's crazy how in tune we were watching the game. There were several assignment blows there, and then lack of pass rush on crucial plays. That's exactly what's in my notes. Allowed Vikings to extend drives and get first downs. So we're at 60% of our blame pie now, which means 20% on Kyle and his conservative approach, particularly in the red zone and on fourth down, limited the team's offensive potential and his inability to counter the Vikings' offensive defensive adjustment just, you know, left us struggling. And then another 20% is, again, we covered special teams, the muff punt, the block punt, just put the team in such bad positions and just fired the crowd up more so than anything else. Like everything bad that we did seemed like it just revved their crowd, was just like so into it. And even in those times when, you know, it seemed like there always seems to be a pretty big 49er contingent every, you know, at all road games. Cause there were a couple times where you could hear the crowd trying to rally the Niners, but it just, you know, we just couldn't get it going. So that's my blame pie for this week.
I like the numbers. Can we add in that 20% for Kyle? You mentioned the conservativeness. Now I'm going to mention the last drive that they scored that touchdown. They had used up all of their timeouts.
Yes.
And so it made it so they had one stoppage of clock, which is going to be the 2-minute warning. Now, there was only like 3 minutes and 30 seconds left or whatever. So if they were going to score in a minute, then you have a small shot, because then Minnesota cannot kill the clock just with kneel downs. They would actually have to, you know, you may not get the ball with a lot of time left, but that was your only chance of, unless you got an onside kick, that you could stop Minnesota. So
yeah,
Brock moves the chains and they're down to like the 20, and they got like 2 minutes and 20 seconds left. So he did it in like a minute and 10 seconds or something like that. So I was like, okay, at this moment, at 2 minutes and 20 seconds, you either kick the field goal or you take a shot at the end zone. Because if you score and it is after the 2 minute warning with zero timeouts left and you don't get the onside kick, the game is over.
It's over.
And so I'm watching this play. It is, and Brock is not killing the clock in any of the, they're just going up to the line of scrimmage and calling plays. It's like 2 minutes and 6 seconds left or whatever. And I'm like, okay, we're in dire straits if they're not going to, you know, kick the field goal now or whatever. And they throw a slant to Debo for 2 yards. And then we get to the 2 minute warning. And I was like, what in the hell was that? Because if Kyle was thinking the same way that we were thinking, you cannot throw that slant pass unless you think it's going to score.
Break. Yeah. It's going to break. You do it. But otherwise, it's got to be something that's going to allow you to get out of bounds and stop the clock to give you another play.
Yeah.
Because at 2:20, you should be able to get two plays off before the 2 minute warning. You know, I don't know.
And so would you have kicked the field goal? Would you have taken shots at the end zone?
See, I wouldn't have kicked if I had timeouts, like you said. Yes, I would have kicked the field goal. But, you know, after I managed myself into a position where I didn't have any timeouts, then you kind of have to go for it. It seemed clear to me that we weren't in, it wasn't, you had to go. You had to try to score because, like you said, even if you kick the field goal with no timeouts, it's going to take a lot for you to, you got to stop the clock.
I don't like playing for the idea that the only way you have a chance is if you get the onside kick. The way that,
especially the way in the rules now,
yeah, with the new rules where it's
I gotta
predictable.
I've got to tell you that I'm about to do it
in the fourth quarter. You have to be losing,
and I have to literally say I'm about to kick us. I'm about to make an onside kick. I mean, it's just it. You know, it has always been a low percentage play, And it is even more so now. So
I just had an issue with the math that they as they were going. I wanted to see them figure the math piece of it and make their decisions on that. Okay, now even in a loss, we are still going to do this, but it is now up to Rod here for this.
I want winners. I want people that want to win.
The coach saying player of the game for today.
Honorable mention, Jordan Mason, but the player of the game was easy. It was Fred Warner. He was just all over the place. His leadership and his just his overall just playmaking always. Like you say, if anytime there's a play to be made, you don't even have to look. You know, and they say when they say a play has been made, you know it was 54 down there at the bottom of the pile somewhere, or he was somewhere involved. He was just all over the place. And yeah, I think that'll be one of the easiest of the season. Fred Warner.
Did he also have a sack today?
I know he had a hit. I don't know if it was a sack or just a quarterback hit, but yeah.
I'm looking at the numbers here. 9 tackles, 7 solo. He got credited.
Oh, a sack and a hit.
For 1 sack, 1 tackle for a loss, 2 pass defense, a quarterback hit, and an interception. And I don't, the numbers that I have don't have the forced fumble, but 1 forced fumble. He actually forced a second fumble, but Darnold was going out of bounds, mm-hmm. So it hit off of his body. And in basketball, that'd have been our ball, but not in football. So yeah, what a dominant performance in an effort that where the rest of the defense didn't really play up to his level, but man, he's really the person who gave us a shot in this game.
Yeah.
All right. As we go to next week, the 49ers next week play the Rams, and the Rams, oh man, I thought they played really good in Detroit, all things considered, on Sunday night. I thought Stafford played really good. They lost Puka. Their offensive line is a turnstile. They can't keep anybody healthy. They hung with the Lions. I thought, the overtime rules kind of screwed the situation up because Lions just went down and scored and the Rams didn't have a chance in overtime. But then today, oh my gosh, they got boat raced by the Arizona Cardinals. Marvin Harrison Jr., people were talking about his demise last week. And he went off today. So Niners and Rams at the Rams. Now, I'm going to say this. I don't expect the Rams to play this poorly next week. McVay and Shanahan have a little thing going on where McVay is probably going to use today's game to create havoc for the team to be ready for the Niners next week. Shanahan the same way, though. They're both they both coaches are pissed off right now. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, I think the Niners have the better team. But if you watch the way that Sammy Darnold picked apart that secondary, that is my biggest fear, is that we could see, actually Cooper Kupp got hurt.
Yeah,
today,
hurt.
So,
yeah.
So who knows? Mm-hmm. If no Kupp next week, then, you know, maybe it's a DeMarcus Robinson game or something, but that they're good. It's going to be really tough for them. But if Cooper can play, that dude may catch like 15 balls next week.
Oh yeah. Stafford has no compunction about targeting him 12 times. He will go drop back and just throw it to him every time. So yeah, it's going to be interesting. From a competitive standpoint, it sucks if Cooper Kupp isn't there, but you know, as a Niner fan, you know, I don't wish anybody injured, but you know, I would hope that he comes back the week after healthy, if it's up to me. So
totally. Mm-hmm. I think the Niners will bounce back, but I don't think it's going to be easy. I think the Rams are always just going to play the Niners pretty tough just because of that, though. And the one thing is also that stadium becomes 49er country.
Yeah, it's a home game. Yeah.
So, not too afraid of that. The Niners have a lot of things in their favor to go into Inglewood next week and win the game.
Yep, I think so too.
All right. That is it. We are done with week two. Niners 1-1 going into week three. I feel good. I felt okay after the game. I feel better now. Sometimes it's just good to talk through it.
Detroit lost too, so that helps.
I was my wife, you and I were going to do this a little earlier, and then I reached out to you last night, and I was like, can we do it a little later? Because my wife wanted to go run an errand, and so I was like, Rod and I can totally do it later, and the afternoon games will be over and everything, so it'll be fine. And so she's like, are you frustrated after this game? Like, and I was like, not really. Like, I would have rather them won, but I didn't see anything glaring that makes me believe that they're fraudulent. Like, my San Francisco Giants are fraudulent. so, you know, they just have to be tighter. They just have to figure some things out. And I think Kyle will use this a little bit of motivation, not only for the team, but for himself. Christian, he's going to have to be better too.
And it worked out for me because it gave me time to kind of like process what had happened. And in a way that we come and talk about it fresh, you're just kind of in the moment. So I was able to kind of step back and like really think about it. So yeah, it worked out. Either way. So yeah, it was good. I was glad to have had the extra time. So yeah, that was good. So it's tomorrow's 1 o'clock. Next week is 1 o'clock, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, cool.
So check out our socials, BSPN Media on Twitter, BSPN _media on Instagram. We'll post the graphic for Fred Warner being the coach sing. Week two player of the week, and we'll be back. So tomorrow, Monday, I should be back with Brad to do Thompson to Clark. The Giants are the Giants season is done, but they might as well just wave the white flag. I would rather them just like not play. I would rather see some forfeits than some of the baseball that I'm seeing on the field. And I'm hopeful that Brian and I come back this week for the death lineup. The problem is there's literally no Warriors news. Though there is some WNBA news, and you know we've been following WNBA a lot more closely, so we'll see. Undetermined about when the death lineup is coming back. If there is some Warrior stuff, then we will definitely try. But there hasn't been a lot other than Steph hanging out with Clay, and then I think Derek Lively may have been there, and Steph just kind of did like the stinks face to see Derek Lively and Clay hanging out together in a fun way. It wasn't real, or maybe it was real, but all right. So we'll be back on this show next week after Niners Rams on this channel. Brad and I will be back for Thompson to Clark on Monday. For Rod, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
What is Dax? Are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen. Yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for
in Dax's domain. We see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them.
All of them. Value surge. Trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell.
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.